that you've been like in a desert looking for a source to get hydrated. But you've been going and going to the point you're almost coming to death. But then you see a sign that just says, a little bit longer, there's a well that you can drink of living, cool, refreshed water. How would you feel then? Would hope come back into your spirit? How would you feel like, I'm going to make it after all? I'm going to make it now because I know that I've been going through this season that's just been dry. But there was a sign. It says, just ahead, there's a well of living water for you that will refresh you, rehydrate you, and will cool you off. Now, you know, all of a sudden, now you're going to get hope restored. Right? You're going to feel like, I'm going to make it after all. But what happens when you get to the well? And you drop that bucket down. And you're looking for the... And I hear... What happens then? Do you lose hope? Do you lose the fact that maybe you were in the wrong direction of where you should be? And when you get there, what you were going after was not there. Have you ever journeyed on something in a direction and you thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and then you wind up doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing? Kind of get you out the will of God. And like, I thought for sure doing this lawn business was going to get me out the will of God. Anyhow, thank you for grace and mercy. But I realized something. You must have a season with no rain. You must have a season where things ain't producing like you thought they were going to produce. Because if it produces every season the way it's supposed to produce, you're no more need of God than you are without. But what I found very interesting today, as I got that tiller, I turned that sucker on, and that thing went to town on that ground. The top portion of the soil was very hard and brittle. But what was underneath? Nice, soft, and moist. How can it be moist when it didn't rain? Because it knows how to hold on to what is good. How else can the weeds grow? I didn't say grass. Weeds. See, weeds have a tendency to grow to show it, so... Where grass will quit growing because there's not enough water to shoot through, it'll sustain and maintain for the roots as opposed to the fruit. Sustain life beneath the surface, even in a drought. But the weeds get plucked up real easy, and they won't grow again. But when you go through and just till all that ground, now it becomes fertile ground. Fertile. Well, you didn't do anything to it, but just turn it. Put the old with the new, and you made the new make the old become new. So sometimes we just need to get the Word of God back the way it's supposed to be, in its purest form. Without man putting his hand on it. Without man trying to make it seem like it's better if you just do it this way. And if you do it this way, it may just grow a little bit faster. No, sometimes you just got to let it go through its seasons. And when it goes to the season of being dry, maybe we have to use an instrument that you have to go and get maybe a little bit heavier and let the word penetrate through. And it just kind of stirs some things up. That all of a sudden what was down deep now comes to the surface. But I find it very interesting that what was down in that surface that we couldn't see, it was hidden for such a time as this. Such a time. I said, Lord, I know you always show me something when I get around plants and just flowers. And what about grass now? What are you going to show me about grass? And he said, how come today you didn't wear your boots and your jeans? You felt that it was going to be an easy task. He said, the hardest thing you do is when you're breaking up fallow ground. Because all the deadness that's on top is being kicked all over you. I said, Lord, I don't want no dead things on me. I want to get all that stuff off of me. He says, then let my word penetrate. Because my word is life. And my word will go through and cut away at every false seed. Every false hope, every false seed, it'll cut away at it. Because my word is like a double-edged sword. That it will cut, it'll divide. It'll separate. So that it can lift up at its root to produce the real fruit. Didn't think I was getting Bible college today when I was out there and just tilling that ground. What I thought was going to take me about 6 hours, 8 hours. Watch this. Because the right tool, 1 hour. The right tool. No, what I'm going to tell it to you this way, and y'all probably ain't going to like this because most of y'all are just so tech savvy. Get off your YouTube. Get off of searching all of these certain kind of glory preachers. Why not go to the source? For what you need in this season right now. And there ain't nothing wrong with these glory preachers because I want glory too. But I want His glory right now, in my season, where my fallow ground needed to be broken up, that He had to show me something. Some things need to be broken up only with the Word. Only with the Word. Not by somebody else doing something that you would like for it to happen to you, but what God knows what you need right now. Not later, not what's to come, but right now. Very interesting, and I don't know if you know what a tiller is, but it has a wheel within a wheel that when it works together in tandem, it begins to do what it was set out to do, and it accomplishes what you will it to do. But what would have happened if I didn't fill it up with gas? You would have had the tools. But if you didn't have the Holy Spirit with it, you wouldn't have had anything to go along to bring growth. Many of us get the word. Give me another prophetic word. What'd you do with the last one? What'd you do the last time you got prophesied to? What are you asking for another one for? What did you do with the last word that He spoke to you? If you're looking for being tickled in the ears, you ain't gonna grow. You're gonna go. But if you listen to what the Spirit of God is saying concerning the Word of God that was preached to you or what He spoke to you, then the Spirit of God will bring growth to you. But if you're looking for another feel-good word, you'll be led astray. Knows how to get your attention. And the he that I'm talking about is not the capital H, it's the little h. It's called a spirit of deception. Because it'll deceive you out of what you need and tell you what you want to hear. Because he'll tickle your ear. But then the Holy Spirit comes in. Go in. Let those that have ears hear. Not what the preacher's saying. Not what the apostle's talking about. Not what the evangelist is doing. Oh. But what the Spirit is saying. All of a sudden that seed gets root. And it goes through all those layers of hardness, hardships, letdowns. How about it gets past those seasons of doubt and unbelief? Because the right word will penetrate. And it'll go right into its very root and produce the fruit. And the Bible says, in its season. Can't produce fruit all year long because you'll drain the root of the nutrients. There has to be death. Y'all don't know me. I talk to my flowers every morning. Today I come home from after tilling that ground. I said it only took me an hour. I got energy. I planned for 4 to 6 hours. 1 hour. I get home, I go to my flowers. I looked at my flowers, Sylvia, I said, you don't look too good. I got to do something with you. So I go inside the kitchen and get me some of these kitchen shears, scissors. And I cut it all down. All of it. Even though it had flowers on it. Beautiful. Purple, red, yellow, white. Beautiful. Long stem just coming out like of the container like this. And it looks so beautiful. But what I can see to the root, I knew that something was wrong. Because the soil had been getting hard on top. And it was causing the flower to work extra hard to get the nutrients to it. So I cut it all off. Watch this. But I had to move it from the front to the back so that it can heal. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes God is going to do a thing in your life. He may move the position of where you're at. Instead of putting you in the front, he's going to put you in the back. So he can make you sit. Be still. He may even have you shut your mouth. He may even have you just don't even wave anymore. Just be still. Don't even try to look pretty in this season. Be still. Don't even try to go pluck those eyebrows and put on all that mascara stuff. Just sit still. Because it ain't time for you to shine right now. It's time for you to heal. But ain't nobody like to be put in the back. Everybody wants to be seen, but there ain't health anymore inside the root. You always want to produce the fruit, but you're draining the root. And God is saying, I want you to make it to the very end. I want you to sustain your life. And the seed that I planted inside of you is that very seed that's going to keep you moving towards Him. But sometimes you need to be cut down, trimmed back, pruned and stripped at times. And every now and then you got to be taken out of that pot and put new soil, Maybe till up the old with some fresh soil so that the nutrients can get in there and make the old new again. There's life even through the season of death. You just can't see it. You just can't see it. Why'd you move me over here? I was in the front. Everybody could see me. But now I'm in the back. Ain't nobody can hear me or see me. I don't even have nothing for them to look at no more. I've been cut down so low. I've been brought down so low. I can't even see out the pot anymore. I can't even see out of the container that I'm in. Sometimes I can't see where I'm going, where I'm at, or where I'm about to go. But in a season of my growth, I can begin to see just a little bit more because my roots are getting strengthened. They're being fed with word so that when the Holy Spirit comes to speak to you, He doesn't call you the church of Sardis, a dying church. A dying church. See the letters that are written in the book of Revelation? Put that to you, your life. It's written to a physical church in an area, a territory where the Christian church was at, but it writes about its current state. It wasn't always at that state. The church of Sardis was a flourishing church that was alive, that had influence in a territory, a city, Sardis, where the first coins were ever minted. There was wealth there. Wealth. But what happened to the church? It got so complacent. It got so comfortable that instead of being the thermostat to change the atmosphere or to change the region, it just became a thermometer. Whereas opposed, the church is supposed to change the temperature of the city. We, the church, we walking around showing all kinds of fruit, loops, and colors. But is there really life in it? How do you know you're in a church that's dead? First people are going to say, well, if the Holy Spirit ain't there, it's dead. You'll find it very interesting that you begin to look at the things that a dead church has. They rely on their past. They rely on their former glory. On how they once used to be. And never embrace the growth that God has for them. Even in the dry seasons. So every now and then the word of God has to come in and begin to till your soil so that you don't become like that church that is dying. He has to inject life with His word so that we can be not just maintained but sustained by the Holy Spirit and His word together. The book of Revelation is letters written to churches. And we can actually look at it and see that we have a tendency to fall just like those churches. And I'm going to show you. Go on, turn on the lights, Elder. And I'm just going to go real quick. I don't want to keep you too long. I know Spurs are getting ready to play tonight, and they need a lot of prayer. They need a lot of prayer. I'm going to show you some references that the Lord has been showing me. And trust me, I was real concerned about doing yard work and stuff just to think, oh, I got this, God. I got this. I can do yard work. I used to do it. And then I started worrying, well, God, what if I don't study? What if I don't get a word for tonight? What if I'm too tired? What if I'm all sunburned again? What's going to happen then? He says, I'm going to speak to you, son. Will you listen? Shoot, I don't know how you're going to speak to me. I'm over here doing the yard and stuff. And you know how you're going to talk to me. I want you to go to Revelations 3. The book of Revelations. Open your Bible, turn right all the way to the back. Revelations chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read this out of the NIV. It says, Revelations 3, verse 1 through 6. It says, to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits. Say, seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Say, seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. That's pretty harsh right there. You have a reputation of being alive, but actually you're dead. That's written to the church. That's pretty harsh. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. And I will never blot out the name of the person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I want you to look at this real quick, and I want you to understand that we can look at it practically. These letters were written to real churches with real issues. You can look at it prophetically. These letters are pictures that the church, at various stages of church history, this particular church pictures the period between 1500 and the rapture. It pictures a Protestant Reformation, and it pictures dead orthodoxy. It pictures the state of many churches in our world. Now, personally, these letters have something to say to every church and every believer who comes under the sound of the message. And I think that what the Holy Spirit is saying is that you need to understand what is going on. And not just walk around and look like you're alive, but really you're spiritually dead. Yeah. Kind of hold on to all kinds of fruits. I tried holding on to some bananas. I like bananas in the morning. But they go past the stage that they're no longer any good. Still fruit. Still fruit. But every now and then you kind of peel back the peel and you realize there's some bruises inside that you couldn't see from the outside. But if you leave it there long enough, the inside will bruise the outside. Then you'll know it's spoiled. But you don't throw it out because you can use it to make banana bread. Just saying, those who know how to make it, you could just, you know, bless pastor with it. Just saying. But fruit all the time doesn't mean just because you got fruit that it's healthy fruit. Have you ever looked at an apple as you bite it and then just turn it around? The outside that is not bitten is nice and shiny. But if you turn it around where it was bitten, it's nice and brown and yellowish. But how is it the other side looks good? Hasn't been affected, right? But you turn that thing around just a little bit, you begin to see where it was bitten. Yeah, like most of us when we get bitten. We want to show the good side, but not where we've been bitten, not where we've been wounded. We don't want to be vulnerable and show that side because we want to look polished and beautiful on the other side. I want everybody to look at us nice and shiny. But on the other side, where it's been wounded and bruised and bit at and chewed on, doesn't look too pretty. Every now and then we get exposed to some things and it hurts. But this is what the letter is being said. It says, you walk around like you have fruit, but you're dead. You're dead. Quit it, because I will come like a thief. Oh, God ain't going to come in and steal. No, he's coming in, and you're not going to know when he's coming. Now, if I was to tell you a miracle, I'm going to come, and I'm going to come into your room, and I'm going to steal your iPad, your iPhones, and everything else in there. You're going to know I'm coming, and I'm going to come at 9 o'clock at night. What are you going to do? You're going to call the cops. That's what he's talking about. I'm going to come like a thief. You're not going to know when I'm coming. You're not going to prepare that I'm coming. I'm just going to show up. And when I show up, you're not going to be prepared for it. How churches today get a tendency to want to show all kinds of things, but the reality is, if there's not life in it, you're not seeing people be restored, healed, delivered, and set free. It's just another church service. And then we have churches that will make it a point to do all the kinds of forceful things. You know the ones. It's the forceful ones. I said forceful ones. You're going to go down, woman of God. You're going to go down. When I lay hands on you, you're going to go down. We got to let everybody know I'm anointed. You got to go down. Yeah, y'all ain't seen those? Huh? You know the ones where they pray for you and they're... Every now and then you feel like they kick you. And then so you get all mad. So they're forcing things, right? Where was I going? The things that I don't like is that because we see an outpouring, is that that it's a God thing. I want to see the people that get up. What happened? You just fell? What happened? You feel different? I feel great. Okay, when I see you next week, I want you to tell me what happened. Because we get under this thing that we feel like we have to do all kinds of things under the Holy Ghost just to prove that God was in the room. See, that didn't happen during the times that Moses showed up to the temple, to the tent of meeting. A cloud filled. In other words, people from the outside could see it. Hear me. They could see the glory, and it wasn't just on the ministers. It wasn't just on the pastor. The people could see the glory. And the ones that were ministering couldn't minister. They were on the floor too. That's a Shekinah glory. So that when Shekinah comes, you just got to move out the way and let God move. And the people in the temple could see God move. And when God is moving, all you got to do is just, yes. Yes. I'm here, Lord. I'm here. And you're here. Do in me as you please. But the problem is, we have churches that play too much. Yeah. I'm not bashing churches, I'm bashing the spirit. Churches are necessary. There's teaching ministries. There's receiving ministries. In other words, they receive the harvest of souls. There's evangelical ministries where they go out and evangelize for souls. There's prophetic ministries that are going to speak the word of the Lord in its season concerning where the church is at. There's churches that are out there to bring a word of hope, to equip, and to let the church know where they stand. These are all necessary. What is not necessary is to fabricate and to force what is not of God. Amen. That is not necessary. If we could just allow the Holy Spirit in his attributes to move and allow us as a church to be in unison with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to see true manifestation of someone's life being changed, transformed, renewed. And that's what the church is about. Oh, you'll deal with demons. You'll deal with all kinds of craziness. That's in the church. So for those of you that have that real discerning eye, and you see all kinds of freakiness in the church, it's supposed to be there. It is. Well, I came into church the other day, Pastor, and I saw this thing. It was a foul thing. It was. What kind of spirit was it? Oh, man, it was big and it was ugly and it had this face. I said, oh, okay. You saw someone's spirit? It was, no, this thing was a demon. The demon took over the church. Demon didn't take over the church. Demon came to be a part of the church. The demon came in and sat next to somebody and caused all kinds of distractions in the middle of the service. Mm-hmm. The whole time, just causing distraction. That's what it's supposed to do. That's it. Can you get your word? Can you get your word? You want to get your word? You want to get your word? Get your word. You didn't get your word. I ain't going to get no word. He ain't even preaching to you. He didn't even say everything you're supposed to hear. Oh, look at you. You came in your scrubs. You should be coming in your scrubs. You should have put your dress on, your heels on. It's church. That whole time, that demon's speaking to you. Why? To distract you. That's all. It's supposed to be in the church. You think it's going to go to the bar? No. What? You were drunk. I know. So are you. You shouldn't be drinking. I know. You need to go to church. Is the demon going to tell you all that? The demon will say, I got next round. Okay. You want to do a shot? Okay. Make it a double. The demon ain't going to be around there enticing you to do. You're the one choosing to be there. You chose it. And the effects of you being there, others will know it. Bonnie, I went this way. I need to stay right here. You walk in at Subway, you know you've been at Subway because it just, oh, get in the car, you know, you smell like Subway, right? You just know you go to Subway, you're going to smell like Subway. You don't even like, you want to go to the drive-thru, but then you smell it as you're driving. It's got that Subway smell. Everybody knows it. And that's food, bread, you know, and stuff. It's just food. But when you go to the bar, you don't think you're going to smell like it? But I took a shower. Oh, it's inside of you. And the only way it comes out is through your pores. I don't understand why I'm so thirsty. I drank so much last night. I should have enough fluids in me. But I'm so thirsty. Some of y'all need to learn to be quiet because y'all are giving yourself up. I'm just, let me take the blows. You're like, oh, you need to drink water before you go to bed. One for every drink you have, and you won't get up with a hangover, you know. But I'm just trying to tell you is that we go through all of this, we've been somewhere, and the effects of where we've been, others can see. Right? Like I was talking about the tent of meeting. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in. The glory of God hits. The people that are there, they can see the effects. Is that right? People should be able to see the effect of the Word of God penetrating in you to bring about the fruit. Right? That's what needs to happen. But if we continue down the course that we choose and only show the fruit that we want people to see, but this side all jacked up. Jacked. I mean jacked up. But you only show this side. Bless God.
You always got to walk in a circle because you can't turn the other way. They'll see the real side of you. Turn around. I'm sick and tired of this church, man. I'm just sick and I want to go home. Spurs about to start. You know, I just... Oh. The Word of God is going to show you. The Word of God is like a mirror. That it shows you what's there. It shows you that. But we don't like to see what's there. Mm-hmm. So when we go look in the mirror, when we're getting ready for church, we don't look. We just kind of. Gotta go to church. So who knows what's going to happen. But then there's times that you really pay attention to the mirror and you really start looking at the reflection that is there and you really start picking things apart. I mean, really be critical on yourself, not others, yourself. You start looking. I remember that time I was messing my eyebrows. I messed it all up. I had to try to get in the sun. So hurry up. Hurry up, son. Because you start catching things that you did to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like the one time I was, this is way back, Sylvia, way back. Way back, way back. Went way back. Just so happened that I was not in the right frame of mind. About the best way I can say that, when I was not in the right frame of mind. And I made a decision that wasn't good. And, well, it showed. Showed pretty bad. And there were some effects of not being in my right mind. Chris, the next day I got up in the morning, it really showed. I had fallen and I couldn't get up. I couldn't get up. And I fell in an ant pile. Why y'all laughing? My head was in the ant pile. So I look in the mirror. I didn't know what was going on. I just itchy all night long. Look in the mirror.
Swollen.
I felt like Will Smith in that movie when he had that allergic reaction. He had to drink all that Benadryl because his ears were like to hear his lip. I felt like that because the effects of the things that we do. Can we let the choices that we make be the choices that God wants for us to make? And when we do those choices, the effects people will see. Here's biblical. When Moses went to be in the presence of God, the people, what? They saw the glory of God on him. The effects of being in the presence of the Lord. And he didn't go to be in the presence of the Lord and God not speak. You go to be in the presence of the Lord and he speaks. He speaks. If you've truly been in the presence of God, he speaks. But if you haven't been in the presence of God, what'd God say? None. You weren't in the presence. You were sitting there. You fell asleep. Did he speak to you? He may just say just one word. Peace. All he said was peace. Peace. I needed to know more. I needed to understand what he wanted to tell me. No, you needed peace, is what he said. And what he said was created to give you peace. We have to let people know that when we've been in the presence of God, they know it's true. Not by what we say, by what they see. By what they see. We all have to open our mouth and say, I've been in the presence of God. That's the mere fact that you haven't been. That's a sign right there. Zip it. We'll know when we see him on you. Okay. I'm just talking. All right. Well, here's what I want to point out to you here. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits. Seven spirits, right? And the seven stars. Do you know what the seven spirits are? No? Y'all can, yeah, no? Okay. The seven spirits are the seven spirits of God, referring to the Holy Spirit in his complete ministry. It's a sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's in Isaiah 11:2. And I'll read it to you. Isaiah 11:2. In his hand is the plenitude of the Holy Spirit. This is a reminder to the churches that we are to operate not under the power of human skill, leadership, and organization, but under the awesome power of the Holy Spirit. When the church walks in the power of the flesh, we will surely fail. But when we walk in the power of the Spirit, there will be success. There will be glory, and there will be power and life instead of deadness and ineffectiveness. The seven stars are the pastors. That's in Revelations 1:20. They are the messengers who bring the people the word of God. Jesus appears as one who has everything the church needs to succeed. This is what, if we were to allow the Holy Spirit to work, really work, and that we would align ourselves with the Spirit of God and his ability, not our ability, but his ability, we would see transformation. We wouldn't have to pray for revival. It would happen. But it's when we work in our human flesh that we don't see the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. And this is what I've been asking God. How do we get a demonstration of your glory as what we would call the revival state? He says, it's never been about man. It's been about my Spirit. Every time man gets in the way, revival stops. But every time the Holy Spirit is flowing, revival keeps going. Man gets in the way, it stops. So how do we align ourselves, God? What are we supposed to do? He says, learn to surrender. Okay, God, well, I want to know how I'm supposed to surrender. Make it personal. God, how does Marty Perez get out of the way? And how am I supposed to surrender? He goes, you don't know? No. Good. It's when you know, it's when you start to manufacture. You start making it happen the way you think it's supposed to be. He goes, let me just do it. And when you sense my Spirit moving, move out of the way. Wait on me, the tarrying of the Lord. Tarry. Wait on me. And when I speak, then you speak. When I move, then you move. When I demonstrate power, power will be demonstrated through you. And that's where I believe that the church today, and you'll see those signs of the effectiveness of a church that's alive, as opposed to a church like Sardis, that God says, you're dead. I don't want to be a dead church. Do you?
No.
Do you personally want to be represented as a dead church? Then let the word of God penetrate. Let him challenge you. Let him challenge you to the point where he'll break open that fallow ground. And what's deep inside will come to the surface. And if there's some influences around or there's some things that you're choosing to do, let him move that out the way. But you surrender that to him. That's what we got to do. I said, what else, God? He goes, that's all you need right now. That's it. Is that simple? He goes, y'all make it hard. Y'all make it hard. If you just let me be God, because I'm God. And when you're letting me be God, I'm a God of opportunity.
No, not just opportunity for you to be blessed. I'm a God that looks for an opportunity to show how good I really am.
Amen.
Well, what do you mean, God? He says, when I came when the earth had no form. There was no light. There was chaos. It was an opportunity for God to show up and put order in the chaos. It was also God that saw that when the army needed some water out in the field, there's army men, army, they're fighters, and they needed water. He says, I gave them the water from the rain, but they had to dig, and they didn't have shovels to dig. It was a dry land. How'd they get through that hard surface? What'd they do? What'd they use? Did they use their weapons? I don't know about you. I'll just put you this way. That's your weapon right there. That's your weapon. Your guitar. But in order for God to get you the trenches, he's going to tell you, dig trenches. Are you going to use that guitar to dig the trenches? But that's your weapon. And he said the battle was going to be over. You still had a battle to fight. Would you use your weapon and destroy your weapon? So what'd they use? Hands. Their hands. Talk from the side of their hands. He's going to make you use what you got. How he made you and how he prescribed you to be. That everything your hands touch shall prosper. Because your weapon is still going to be used later. Don't destroy your weapon. Use what he made. He made you. And if he tells you to do it, then he knows you can. He's not going to tell you to do something that you can't do. He's not going to tell you to go out there and do something that you don't have the capability of doing. Because then you'll doubt him. Mm-hmm. And then you'll lose hope in him. And then you'll deny him. So if he tells you to do something, he knows you have the ability and capability of doing it. He may just make you use your own hands to do it. Means he may have you do some things you normally wouldn't do. He may make you do something that you normally would not do so that you could understand that the potential that is there has always been there. You just hadn't had the opportunity to use it. And so he tells you to use it, then he uses it. See, when it's time, it's just time. There's nothing you can do. It's just time. The Bible says to ask for rain in the season of what? Rain. In other words, he didn't say ask for rain in drought. He said ask for rain in the season of rain. Because there's a season for it. Lord, I need rain right now. I know it's a drought and it's going to go on for a while. I need rain. You know I need rain. You know before I even ask it or think of it, you already know what I need. What am I supposed to do during this drought? Go beneath the surface. Beneath the surface. Break it up. And what I have given you, the nutrients that you need and that are necessary for you are there. You just have to break it up. Break it up. Till the ground. The dead things turn into fresh things. So when the rain comes, it makes all things. And I know that the Holy Spirit has been speaking and saying that I'm going to do something fresh in you. We have to be in position to receive. How do we get in position? It's our heart. Our heart. It's never been about our what we know. It's been about our heart. So let's trust God in this. And let's move out of the way and let God be God. And let the Spirit manifest the Holy Spirit. Distractions will come. That's the intentions. Oh, yeah. See, Elijah tells Elisha, if you keep your focus on me and you see me when I go up, what came? Distraction. The chariots of fire. I've been looking at the chariots of fire. Wow. Check that out and miss my blessing. Distractions come. They're supposed to. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep it on Jesus. And when he begins to move, that's when we're going to move. And then there's a season that when God just shows up on the scene and says, it's your time. It's your time. And everything that you've been believing God for and just holding on to and believing for the promises just happens. Because it's his time. And the fruitfulness of God shows up. And you see the harvest that you've been laboring for. And I believe God is going to show the people of God that have steadied the course. Steadied the course. Follow after God. Then we're going to see some things take place in the kingdom of God. And he's going to look at us and he's going to write to us. He's going to tell us, I'm faithful, I'm true, and things are going to manifest for you. For you. Do you believe God is speaking to you today? Then let him get into that area that you've been hiding, showing only one side. Give him the vulnerable side. Give it to him. Surrender it. And let him bring healing to you. Amen. If you would stand to your feet, please. That the Lord has been speaking to you. I'm not going to do an altar call for you to come up here and stand. I want you right where you're at saying, Lord, I know that what's inside of me, you've planted the good things inside of me. Maybe influences or even myself. I planted things that were not of you. Uproot those things. But let your true seed produce its harvest. And Father, I just yield to you. And I declare, Father, I will not be a dead church. That I will be a church that is alive, seeking, yielding, and surrendering to you. Father, I just thank you right now for everyone that is represented here today. I thank you that the Spirit of God has spoken into their spirit man, challenged their intellect, and more importantly, Father God, broken up the fallow ground in their heart to receive the Word of God. Through this process, Father, I just thank you right now that your seed will produce its harvest. And I thank you, Father, that it is time. It is that very season, Father, that I believe that we are about to see a great harvest. A harvest of souls. A harvest of people that are being restored back into their rightful positions. Being restored with family, being restored of health. And Father, that there be a season of restoration, Father. Those that have strayed away from you, that this will be a season of a father running unto the children, where your spirit will run after them, embrace them, and bring them right back into the rightful place. Father, I just release a blessing from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. The word of God penetrate into their spirit, and that the word of God penetrate into their heart. And I thank you in advance, Father, even for the hardships, the hard times, the droughts, the season that we've gone through. Even we may have been cut down, trimmed, or even stripped. Father, we sat patiently waiting for the season that you would call us back to the front. Father, I just thank you that we know how to yield to your spirit. And I thank you for the manifestation of your spirit into the precious, precious lives of your children. I thank you in advance right now, Father, for a demonstration of your love, your agape love, over their life, in their life, and through their life, Father. I thank you in advance. I release them into the prophetic destiny, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. I know that we have envelopes that we need to pass out. Elder, we'll pass those out. I don't want to keep you too long. I thank you guys for coming. I know it's Spurs and the game, and they need lots of prayer. Lots of prayer. But I want you guys to know that our youth will be here tomorrow night, the aliens. I want you guys to keep them in prayer. And this Sunday, I know it's what we call Memorial Day weekend, right? I want you to make for yourself, just whether it be a little piece of paper or an envelope, and just write on there what you're believing God for, and put that into remembrance. Put it in the chest. Don't write your name on it. Just put it in the chest. What you're believing God for. We're going to pray over it on Sunday. Well, I don't come on Sundays. Well, then do it tonight. Make sure it's in here for Sunday. Okay? I believe that God is going to say, I'm making a memorial on behalf of my children on what I'm about to do for them. And I believe that God is going to show up in your life in the areas that you need him to, and you'll see change. You'll see manifestation, and you'll see healing. So I want you to write it down. Put it in the chest. If you're coming Sunday, bring it Sunday. If you're not going to be here Sunday, write it and put it in the chest. If you're unsure, Pastor, I'm not too, put it in the chest tonight. I believe that God is going to show up and show off for his children. Amen? All right. And you're giving tonight, just be obedient to God. Amen? Be obedient to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bless your children, Lord, as they're given unto you. And I thank you right now, Father, that as you touch their heart, that they're given because it's a privilege to give to you. It comes from the heart, and not because they're told to, but because they want to. And Father, I thank you for the seeds that are coming forth, Father, and I thank you right now that you'll produce a harvest in their life, a harvest in their home, and Lord, that their vats will overflow. I thank you that their storehouses, Father God, their bank accounts will overflow. Thank you for manifestations, God, of what you've promised to them, that the promises are true, they're yea and amen. So, Father, right now, I just release it in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for breakthrough. Breakthrough in Jesus' mighty name. You may serve the Lord. I bless you. Be careful driving home. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll see you on Sunday. Amen. God bless you guys.